Nice job. You see, that's why Jesus said you only need two or three, right? He's not big on big numbers, but he's big on singing praises and singing songs. So thank you, kids, for reminding us that Christmas is a time to love and to receive God's love. Think about last week. John the Baptist was with us, and now he's with us again today. And we know that when John the Baptist shows up, that Christmas can't be far away. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. That means that Jesus is closing in. But apparently, from our gospel reading for tonight, John the Baptist is losing his confidence. He's got some doubts. And he perhaps is on the verge of either despair or at least losing his hope. And we wonder how that could be. Our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun, so longed for, or this benighted sphere. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free. Expectations. When we make our plans, we are assuming certain outcomes. If someone says to you, you've got to read this book. This is the best book I've ever read in my whole life. And so on that recommendation, you spend the time, you read it, and afterwards they say, so what'd you think? It's really good, isn't it? And you say, well, it was okay. And you go, are you nuts? And you go, well, it didn't meet my expectations, right? We don't always get what we think we're going to get when we purchase something. Or maybe it doesn't last as long as we had hoped that it would. And so we understand how expectations can in fact let us down. Is John the Baptist someone who has been expecting too much of his cousin Jesus? Is that what's going on while he's in prison now? Is it a matter of that Jesus hasn't arisen to the expectations of John and now he's disappointed? Or at least he's questioning? Or perhaps losing faith? Advent is a time when we wrestle with that question. Are you the one? Yes or no? Are you the one? Or shall we keep looking? Keep searching, keep waiting for someone else. That's the question John has. Is he losing his hope? Or is his hope well-founded? Is it okay to question, to have doubts, to struggle with the faith as we wait for the promised certain coming of Jesus? When Paul wrote his letter to the church at Rome, he spoke repeatedly about hope. Our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. And so it was Paul who in chapters 8 of Romans, he says, by or in this hope we are saved. What's the hope he's talking about? That there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. The hope of the redemption of our bodies and the adoption as sons and daughters of God. In this hope that we are justified by faith alone, through the grace of God alone, in Christ alone, we are saved. This is our hope. It's not fantasy. It's not a mere wishful thinking. Paul says, in this hope, we are saved. But who hopes for what they see? We hope for what we do not see, Paul says, and therefore we wait for it with patience. But it appears that John in prison is getting rather impatient. Has he forgotten those strong words of the gospel? Romans 5, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. In him, we've obtained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And more than this, we rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul gets to the end of his letter to the church at Rome, he says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Everything that Paul has to say is about hope, but hope is spelled J-E-S-U-S. Has John the Baptist forgotten this? He's confined in a cell. And perhaps despair is starting to attack him. And he's losing his courage and his confidence and his certainty, his conviction that Jesus is the one. And so he asked the Advent question that we ask when we hit those walls, or when our hopes and expectations are dashed, or at least don't materialize. Are you the one? Or should I keep looking? Keep waiting? Keep searching for someone else? Consider the journey of John. Do you remember his birthday? Do you remember the birth of John the Baptist? Elizabeth and Zechariah were old people. I mean, they were really old, older than anybody here tonight, okay? Elizabeth and Zechariah were really old, and they didn't have any kids. And Zechariah was a pastor, a priest, but in a little Hicksville town, a small little congregation, I suppose. And when he was serving God, remember, he ended up being mute, because God revealed to him, you're going to have a baby, and I'm going to give you the kid's name. It's going to be John, which means God is gracious. Now, if you remember the story of John the Baptist, when he was 6 months in his mother's womb, Mary had gotten a visit by the angel too, and Mary was told that she was going to be the mother of our Lord. And so Mary is given a sign, and the sign is the unbelievable, the humanly inconceivable, right? Your kinswoman Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Check it out. She goes from Nazareth all the way down to Ein Kerem, the Judean area. And sure enough, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And what immediately happens when these two women meet and come together? The six-month fetus in the womb of Elizabeth leaps. And Elizabeth says, that's the baby bearing witness to Messiah. You see, already in the womb, John the Baptist had faith to proclaim Jesus as Messiah. And Jesus was just a little embryo in the womb of Mary at that point. And so it was the faith of John that stirred the faith of Elizabeth, who said, how blessed am I to be in the presence of my Lord. And that created the faith of Mary, where she sang her Magnificat. That's how it all began. John, 6 months older than his cousin Jesus, bearing witness to Jesus from the time he was in the womb. And then you remember last week's gospel. I mean, he's out there, he's dressed in camel's hair, and he's got a leather belt around his waist, and he's got a basket full of grasshoppers, and he's dipping them in some wild honey. Here, you want a bite? And it said that everybody was coming out to the Judean wilderness, right? From Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, everyone is coming out to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And they were confessing their sins. John didn't pull punches. John the Baptist spoke the truth even if people didn't want to hear it. And when he saw some of the fat cats, some of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes coming out there, just kind of covering all the bases, just to be on the safe side, you remember what he said to them, right? You brood of vipers, you family of snakes, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Don't you see the axe? It's laid at the root of the tree. Bear fruit that befits repentance. I mean, he laid it right on the line. And then he talked about Messiah, the one greater than me. He's coming. Get ready, he's coming, he's closing in. Repent, keep on repenting, because the kingdom of heaven is here and now. John knew that from the time he was in his mother's womb. He had that certainty, he had that hope, he had that confidence. And so he proclaimed it boldly, strongly. But what did he expect? He said, Messiah is going to come. It's harvest time. Well, John, you might have to wait. The bananas are still green. Wait until they ripen. But he thought that Jesus was going to come, and he said he's going to have a winnowing fork in one hand, and he's going to have a torch in the other. And he's going to burn that chaff with unquenchable fire. Apparently, things are not working out like John expected them to. He's in prison. And I suppose we don't always expect that our faithfulness to God is going to result in something other than prosperity and an easygoing life. John paid a big price for his faithfulness. And he's in prison, and you know why he's there, right? Because he confronted Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, he was a wicked king there. He had his brother Philip killed. You know why? Because he seduced Philip's wife, Herodias, had his brother Philip killed, and then he married his brother's wife. He was a scoundrel. And so he's locked up in prison, and he knows that he's on death row, and his time is short. You see the urgency of the question? Have I put all my chips on that right number on that roulette wheel or not? Are you the one? Because I don't have much time left to keep looking. Shall we look for another? Or are you the one? And you know what's going to happen to John. His head's going to be served on a silver platter. You know that story. So he sends his disciples, because evidently the disciples have been coming and they've been sharing all kinds of bad news. You know the warehouse fire out in Oakland, California? You know the woman that was out jogging, you know, and got kidnapped? And John's been hearing all this bad news. There's plenty of it. And he starts to wonder, are you the one, Jesus? I've been banking on you. I've been proclaiming you as Messiah. So the disciples go and they say, John has a question for you. Are you the one, or shall we look for another? Wait for another, search for another. And what does Jesus say? Does he say yes or no? Don't you wish? He doesn't say yes or no. Instead, he says, you go and tell John what you hear and see. And he's basically quoting Isaiah. You heard it in our first reading for tonight. You know that the kingdom has come. Why? Because the lame are walking. Because the blind are seeing. Because the deaf are hearing. Because the mute are speaking. Because the lepers are being cleansed. Because the dead are being raised up. The dead are being raised up. That's how you know. And the good news is being preached to the poor. Well, is that going to satisfy John? Is that going to satisfy you? You see, in the end, each of us have to answer our own question, don't we? We've been given ears to hear and eyes to see. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he the one, or are you going to keep looking at all kinds of other alternatives out there? What are you going to do? This past Wednesday, I was at the men's Bible study at Panera, And they were talking about patience and prayer. As we wait in the season of Advent for the coming of Jesus. And suddenly they started sharing their testimonies. One of the guys said, my cousin, she left work early a week ago. She went to the mall in town. She was doing some shopping. And all of a sudden she had this huge seizure. All there by herself at the mall. And fortunately somebody came to her help. They called 911. They get an ambulance there. They got her to the hospital. Found out that she had this huge tumor in the brain. He said, they opened her up. It's just amazing how they just kind of split this stuff all up. And what they did, they opened her up. They took this huge tumor out. And it was benign. And I saw my cousin. And she said, I'm feeling great. God is good. Another guy there, his name is Jimmy, he said, well, my sister, 25 years ago, she's smoking like 2 packs of cigarettes a day, and all of a sudden she got this virus, and they rushed her to the hospital. It immediately attacked her heart, and within 24 to 48 hours, her heart muscle was kind of atrophying and shutting down, and before they knew it, she was like being hooked to machines and stuff. And then they had to wait for 11 months for a heart transplant. And when they went to put the heart in, the donor heart, they found out that this heart muscle that had atrophied had regenerated. And the heart just started pumping again all on its own. And then another guy, he says, well, my nephew, he had liver disease, so he was on the transplant list, waiting for a new liver. The first one came and it wasn't an acceptable donor. Then he got a second one. They've got him on the operating table. They're opening up so they can put in this donor liver. And all of a sudden they see that his liver has miraculously regenerated. And so I said, well, I'll tell you my story then. Because some of you know this past June I was down preaching in Eagle Grove, Iowa, where some of my relatives are. And Jason Cooper, the pastor down there, he calls me. He says, I've got a member of my congregation, his wife, they had to drive up, emergency drive up here to Rochester, to Mayo. And it's pretty serious. I think, can you check it out and find out what's happening? I said, yeah, I'll go to the hospital. I went on Thursday, December 1st. And I've never met the family. I'm looking for the wife, Peg. I don't know what the story is. And here's a nurse talking to this woman, and then I find out that it's this guy's sister and his son and his daughter. And then I find out how serious it is. The son is just weeping and breaking out in tears. And then he leaves. This guy's name is Tracy Erickson. And he was in surgery, bleeding internally. They couldn't stop the bleeding. 20 units of blood. And so we went into a room and we prayed, asking for God's mercy, for God's will to be done, for God to heal in the way that God knew was best, for Tracy and his family. Had a rough night, got better about 6 in the morning, then got worse again. Here's the story behind the story for Tracy Erickson. When he was 19 years old, 35 years ago, he was diagnosed with colon cancer, and he had 6 weeks to live. Somebody said, you better go up to Mayo, see if they can do anything. They came up to Rochester, and he had radiation, and he had chemo, and I had all kinds of surgeries and stuff over the last 35 years. He's a walking miracle. And so he knows to live is Jesus, and to die is more Jesus. Well, this past week on Tuesday, I went up to the hospital because I've been getting texts from his wife, Peg, telling me how he's doing. And I was visiting with his wife, Peg, and her daughter, and they got one little grandchild, a 9-month-old little girl that's walking. Her name is Reagan. And he still had the tube in down his throat, so he couldn't talk. but their hope was being restored. And Peg said, "You want to come in and meet Tracy?" I said, "I'd love to do that." And I went in there, and he could only communicate by writing on a piece of paper because of the tube. And he wanted to know kind of, you know, my story. And I said, "Well, I was down this summer preaching at your church." And then he wrote down, and his wife said, "We weren't in church, but he heard you on the radio." And then before I left, we all had prayer together. But do you know what Grandpa was doing, laying in that bed with a tube in? You know who he wanted? That little 9-month-old granddaughter, Reagan. That was his medicine. That was his joy in the midst of all the crisis that he'd been in four to 8 days, right? And then I was going to go see him Friday night, and I get a text Friday afternoon that says, "Just want to let you know we've been discharged. We're on our way back down to Iowa. We'll be back in town on the 23rd or the 24th of December because he's got more surgery that he has to have. But they're letting his body wait and heal." The pastor of Eagle Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, Jason Cooper, he told me that Tracy's mother was also in the hospital down there while the son was up here. He said she's a phenomenal woman of faith. And he said, here's what she said. "Well, either my son is going to be waiting in heaven for me, or I'm going to be in heaven waiting for him." Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame are walking and running and leaping and praising God, and the dead are being raised up to new life. Each of us are going to have to answer that question for ourselves. Is he the one or not? But here's what I think is the real question. If he's not the one, there is no other. And looking and waiting is a waste of time and an exercise in futility. He's the one. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. There is no other. You see, each of us, we have to go and tell what it is we believe to be true. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able for our hymn of the day, hymn number